views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
When you add be you plus live your purpose, what do you get? Joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that you're meant to use to make the world a brighter place. Have you ever wondered, is this all life has to offer? There must be more. If you answer yes, then Unstuck Joy is the show for you. Each show will feature a memoir artwork painted by Vicki that taps into universal themes of evolution, hope, inner strength, and self-growth. Vicki will also ask listeners to play along, draw, doodle, collage, write, and or paint your way to soul clarity with Art Vision Journaling. Unstuck Joy will compel you to tune into your soul's whispers to realize your unique dreams. Get ready to get unstuck.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unstuck Joy. I'm your host, Vicki Todd, and we come to you each first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And this is the place where we give you tips and an art vision journal prompt that you can do at home to evolve ever closer to your true self and live Unstuck Joy. So I'm so excited today to talk to my guest, India Holden. India wears a lot of hats. She's a spiritual guide. She's a thought leader, an author, a speaker, a tarot reader, and all of this wonderful stuff. And so we have a lot of cool things going on today. She's going to talk to us about the movement she created called All is Divine Global. We're going to do an interactive self-soothing exercise, which I'm excited to do along with you. And she's very generously giving away 5 copies of her book, Crafting a Happy Life, which is a delightful, delightful read. And so I'll let you know how you can get one of your own here in a minute. Hi, India.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. Well, before we get into everything, let me tell everybody what we're doing with the Art Vision prompt today. So if you go to my website, VickiWorldArt.com, in the menu, there's an art visioning link, and underneath that, it says Art Vision Prompts. And so today's prompt is called, what advice would your future elder warrioress give you? And so if you click on that, you'll go to the information about the show. And this prompt that I am creating today is in honor of one of India's tarot cards, the Priestess. And so I've created, this is a monoprint. And so it's kind of like a coloring book outline that I've created by doing paint on top of a transparency with a magazine photo underneath, and then you smush it on the paper and it creates this. So this is the Priestess. And in India's card, it's half maiden, fresh and youthful, and half crone, which is the ancient wisdom and an older woman. So I'm going to do this one today. There's a second one on the art visioning link called your elder. And so I've got 2 that you can do. You can see the 2 that I painted with acrylic paint. And today I'm going to use collage with paper I created myself by painting rice paper. You can use computer paper. And I use stencils to, you know, do pattern and color. So we'll revisit this at the end of the show. Okay. India. You've created this movement called the All is Divine Global. Yes. And so I love that name, All is Divine Global. So tell us about that. What does that include?
All is Divine Global is, first of all, an idea. So actually, to me, it's the truth. I've had mystical experiences that have shown me that everything is divine. And it's not just mystical, it's also mysterious, because we obviously know that there are a lot of things that very much don't look like the divine. And yet, somehow, it's all part of the divine. And I've noticed that once I had these mystical experiences and I started living my life based on that, that it felt like corroborated, like suddenly I noticed so much of the good around me. And I noticed that the world is really always, always, every day, just a little bit better than our ego thinks. Because the ego is the one who keeps us alive. So it's the one who goes, ooh, watch out for that. Ooh, here, look at that. And those are not the happy things. Those are the threatening things, because it's its job to pay attention to that. So the ego doesn't really know how amazingly beautiful the world is. And it may not, I'm not sure, but it may not really be clear on that all is divine. So there's a dichotomy, and I think that is part of it. And so I've felt this for, I don't know, for probably my whole life, but it got really clear about a decade ago. And then it took until this wonderful young woman, Brittany Allison, who is an amazing actor, and has so much more than that going on. She's like she's a spiritual guide in her own right. And she encouraged me just by being in my life and by paying attention and by reflecting back what my experiences were, that I should lead with that, my business used to be called Divine Seed because that reminded me of a spiritual experience. And then it got clear, you know, that's just not being courageous. I was thinking, well, nobody wants to hear that. And then somebody said to me, really? All 7.23 billion? You've checked with all of them? And, you know, I had to laugh.
That's true.
Right. So it's like, okay, if I want to live my truth, then I'm going to start saying all is divine. And it's a global phenomenon. It's really global, not just in terms of the earth, but in terms of the abstract meaning, like all is divine, the universe, everything that we can imagine and everything beyond what we can imagine. And what I want to say about it is that it's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. It's a perspective. And it's a way of approaching life. It's a way of being in life. Like if I have something happening, like for instance, oh, I don't know if this is going to work today. Am I really going to see you? Are you going to see me? Okay, well, that's divine too.
Yeah, we are. Right? We're seeing each other.
Exactly. Yeah. We are seeing each other. And if we didn't, that would be divine too in its own way. And so bringing that is a choice. So even though maybe it is actually the truth, I think that you can't convince people of that. If that is your own personal experience, then that's how you feel. But if you don't experience the divine, then I'm not going to say, oh, you're wrong. It's absurd. Right. That is the experience of the divine, to not experience the divine. Why not? Right. There's room.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, okay. So on the homepage on your website, and tell everybody what your web address is, because you have a ton of really cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's alldivineglobal.com.
Alldivineglobal.com. And so you talk about, I can't remember the poet's name, but you mentioned a poet and talked about, who is it?
Edwin Markham.
Okay, Edwin Markham. And he talked about expanding the circle. So I loved that concept. And so talk about the expanding the circle idea. And is that what you're talking about with noticing the divine around you?
Yes. And, you know, for people who are maybe atheists, which is a beautiful way to be, just like all other ways, I would probably say noticing the good around you. In my first world is better than you think. The subtitle is developing an eye for the good around you. And certainly I came across this poem because I was thinking there's some artist who shares this viewpoint. And literally what it talks about is drawing a circle large enough to include the people that exclude you. That was in his poem, right? So, okay, you can exclude me, but guess what? I can include you, and then that is still the reality as well. And so I thought that was really fitting because we do have a certain circle of attention, the things that we give our attention to, the things that we are biased toward noticing, that's like sometimes referred to as confirmation bias, and that is what shows up in our life for the most part, sort of on a daily basis. Well, this circle can be expanded. You can actually say, all right, I'm going to the store, I'm going to the coffee shop, I'm going to work, I'm driving on the road, and I can just say, okay, it's going to be like a lot of traffic, I'm going to be waiting in line. Or you can say, I wonder what there could be to notice today. That's good.
Yes.
And that is drawing the circle of your attention wider. It's sort of like, sort of unlimited. I mean, how wide is it going to be? Well, as wide as it is going to be, just so long as it's wider than your preconceived notions, your assumptions, your projections.
Okay.
So you can say, let life surprise me and let me pay attention just in case something sweet is happening.
Yeah. Well, give us, because I know that you've been doing this for a while, so it's very second nature for you.
Absolutely.
It's kind of getting a little bit more second nature for me, although I'm still working on it. So for somebody that's just starting out and they're in their car driving to work, it's like, oh, you know, I'm in another traffic jam or, you know, I'm going to be late. What are some things that you would notice if you were in the car with them?
Okay. Well, I can tell you right this. Let's say I'm going on the on-ramp, and oftentimes there's a homeless person who's asking for money. And I can, you know, obviously I can notice what we all notice, that it shouldn't be like that, etc. But I can also know, look at this lush tree that's been person, that's also part of this moment, of this scene. I can know maybe that notice there, maybe there's a chain link fence, but look at the flowers that are blooming there. Or I can actually see a person's eyes and instantly see that, oh, there's a human being there, not a concept called homelessness and what all that means, but a person. And I can even go so far as to participate in the experience of the divine and say blessings. And then that person's eyes get larger because, oh, wow, a real person just talked to a real person, and they can say back blessings.
So that's you would actually say that with your window rolled down. Yeah.
Literally, blessings. And the person goes, bless you too. Oh, my God. They're so surprised, you know, that because that doesn't happen all the time. So that's a way of doing it. Or I'm walking in the store And I see this young boy walking with his grandma, and I'm overhearing the snippet, and he says, "You'll never be alone again, Grandma, because now you have me."
Oh, wow! Well,
I wanted to follow them and find out what's going on there.
Right.
But it's a small boy. I would say he was like maybe 5 or 6. I'm like, the divine showing up right there between grandson and his grandma.
Right, because he's young enough to still remember what he came in with into this world. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. Or I'm standing in front of the display of coffees, and I can't find my coffee because it's not available at the time. And somebody who works there comes up to me and goes, "Are you looking for something?" And I could say, "No, thank you," or, "Yeah, you don't have my coffee," you know, which is true. And then part of me is thinking that. Or I can say, "Ah, you know, I love that coffee." And then that person says, "Here." And they snatch a coffee and they put on their free. And they're and they say, "Try this one." Right. So I would say that I almost don't remember what it's like just to passively notice, because I so lean into it today. So I think that it's ordinary things that you're noticing, like walking down the street and suddenly somebody's smiling at you. And this may just pass you by because you're busy on your way to somewhere. But you can, for a moment, give that your attention and go, "Oh, that just happened."
Right. Well, we need to take a quick break, really quick. But so I want to continue this, and I think this is leading into this self-soothing exercise that we'll do. So everybody, we're with Unstuck Joy. I'm your host, Vicki Todd, talking to India Holden, and we will be right back.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Unstuck Joy. I'm your host, Vicki Todd, and we are talking All is Divine Global with our guest, India Holden, today. And so I want to mention, India is very generously giving away 5 copies of her delightful book, Crafting a Happy Life. And so if you're watching us on Facebook Live, type in the comments, yes, I want India's book, or call our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-930-2819. And the producers will get your name and email and your physical address, and so we can arrange for the book to be mailed to you. So please let us know. It's a fabulous book. It's a small book. And the way that India has written it is very conversational, and you feel like you're just in the middle of this warm hug, but it goes really deep. And so it's an excellent book. Okay, so continue with what we were talking about. You were talking about just everyday occurrences, noticing the 6-year-old grandson saying, Grandma, you know, I'm going to be with you, and just noticing the positive things in life. So where does that go?
I want to hasten to say that it doesn't mean you shouldn't be noticing the negative things. It's just that we have this assumption, and you mentioned this on break, we have this assumption that noticing the grit in life, that's being realistic. But yes. I think that's being one-sided. Because obviously that's not just all that's going on. We're constantly, every day, conducting ourselves with honor and integrity. And that is what makes the world go round. So those are good things. For every problem we see, somewhere, someone has devised a solution that we just don't know about. So there's so much good. I mean, there's Good News Network. There is positive.news in the UK, where you can find out all the great things that are happening, especially with positive.news. They compile really great stuff. There's the World Giving Index, where you can find out all the amazing, wonderful things that people are doing in numbers and statistics, like the billions of people that are participating in a beautiful way in this world. So really, we're not short on having reported on all the good that's happening in the world. But because the quickest way to catch your attention is by something moving and something looking like a potential threat. That's just the quickest and easiest way. And so that's what we're doing. And we're not really thinking about the impact that has if that's all we're doing.
Right. Right. Saying,
don't do only that. Like, make the effort to open your eyes and just ask this question. What good thing might I encounter today? Don't. You kind of skip past it and don't really notice it.
Right, right. And so, because that's kind of the quote-unquote norm, you know, with the media, is to focus on the bad stuff that happened. And, you know, I really have to watch myself because it's a balance between wanting to be informed with what's going on, but also just, oh, you know, you start feeling that heaviness in, you know, in my stomach and that you just get really overwhelmed with it.
It's
so you're saying,
you said.
Yes. And so not to push that totally out, but just have a balance and look for the positive things as well. And I like that you said about driving around with the trees, because being from Texas and then Connecticut and now here, those trees that have like the sleeves of that really cool moss,
yeah.
I'm fascinated with those trees when I drive.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So
that's a good right there that you're noticing. And then if you start, when you're noticing good, it's also a change agent, because when you're noticing good and then you kind of respond in kind, then that mm-hmm. becomes a feedback loop. Because then
yes.
that person will not just respond to you in kind for you recognizing the good that they've put into the world in this moment, but they'll tell somebody else. Like, I'll give you an example. I went to this Barnes & Noble, bookstore, and this guy was walking past me working there. Amazing dreadlocks, the most beautiful, just luscious, shiny dreadlocks I've ever seen. I'm like, oh my God, I love your hair. He goes, oh wow, thank you. And then I was there with my friend, and later we meet at the car. And she says to me, you know, this guy passed by me and he complimented me on my hair. And it's true, she had gotten a haircut, but nobody had complimented her. And I say to her, did this guy have dreadlocks? And she goes, yeah, how did you know?
Oh.
So this
wow.
example of how we pay it forward, and I was just so privileged and blessed that I got to witness how that actually works.
Right.
But there's so much more to that in crafting a happy life. So we're kind of talking a lot about The World is Better Than You Think, and that's totally worth reading. It is on Kindle, so you can read it on any smartphone where you can download the Kindle app. And so it's a Amazon, but in crafting a happy life, I'm getting more down into like the nitty gritty, like how do you build a bridge from this, I want to be happy, to actually being happy in your body.
Mm.
So there's a few things like for instance, I've written them down here in front of me so I don't forget some, like break some rules just so that you can know that your own person. There's like maybe, you know, not something that makes you like that'll get you arrested. There can be minor things that like breaking a rule, like, I don't know, like walking through the grass or maybe not the grass. We want to leave the grass alone. But I don't know, perhaps my rule is to always bring a bag. But today I'm going to spend the 5 cents and I'm going to buy a bag. Then so I'm breaking my own rule. Or
wait, you talk about eating dessert first.
Yeah,
in the book.
That's another thing. Like eat dessert first because there's no time like the present. And I'm talking about practicing loving because so we always have a reason. We have a reason for everything. But the problem with a reason is that the reason changes. Mm. And when the reason changes, where are you left? But if you refuse to attach a reason, like I'm loving this moment because, and I'm not adding anything to it. I could say, because I'm on the show with you and this is wonderful and so great to see your smiling face. And well, what if it's something else? Then can I still be happy in this moment? Well, if I don't attach any reason, just I'm happy, I feel the love of life right now, just because. When you train yourself to do that, then that's a tool that you always have available to yourself. But there's something that's even more basic, because how do you even get there? That's like the mountaintop. Well, how do you get to the mountaintop? That's step by step. Obviously, it's neural networks that have you see the world, you see it. And it's also memory in your body. So it's not just in your brain, not just structures in your brain, but also cellular memories. And that's why I developed this tool of self-soothing. It's called self-soothing, and I call it sweet talking.
Okay, let's do it.
Right? So sweet talking would be like this. Okay, so I was doing a presentation at Gender Odyssey last month, a mm-hmm. big international conference for non-binary people who don't, they're not just in one gender like myself. I'm not just one gender. And it was, you know, some people were sharing things that were challenging. And I was like, wow, well, I didn't think that workshop leader handled blah, 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 right? All that. And so I'm starting to feel something. So I'm like, okay, I'm sitting down, starting on, pet myself. It's okay, darling. And it's just literally like that, as if I, if it weren't me, like, what if I were my mom the mom of my dreams? I say, it's okay. It's all good. Just take a nice deep breath. And then I'm taking that breath, and then I'm petting myself, and then maybe hugging myself. Like if it's something where I'm really upset and this is not enough, is petting myself or patting myself, depending on how intimate I feel comfortable being with myself. I might pet my face. It's okay. Close my eyes. It's okay. I love you. You're a beautiful being, especially if I think I did something wrong and I want to say, oh, I should have done that better. Then I can go, you did the best you could. You know that, right? You know that. And then I go like, I know that. I know I did the best. There you go. That's right. You're a beautiful being, perfect as you are and as you're not. You're whole and wise and divine. And all is well, and the experience you're having right now is the experience you're having right now. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be upset, that's fine. I'm just going to hug you as you're upset. You're not alone. I'm right here with you. And if there's even a place in my body where I feel some pain or something, I can go, hi, body. What's going on? What do you want to tell me? I love you. I will never abandon you. You're beautiful. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful muscle that is lifting things up and holding things. I really love you and you're part of each other. You're so beautiful. You don't have to be perfect. Not being perfect is perfectly good enough. I really, really love you. And then sometimes the body will say, you haven't been paying attention to me. And it's like, I'm so sorry. I know, I've been really busy. I've been preparing for this interview, and I didn't listen to you today at all. I never even said good morning to you. So I'm going to say it right now. Hi, how are you, my dear, wonderful, beautiful body who's carrying me everywhere in the world? How are you? And it doesn't necessarily will say, oh, I'm fine. It's just like, ah.
Well, I'm feeling that watching you say that to yourself.
Right?
Yes.
Amazing. And like, we're like shy, like, oh, this is kind of weird, right? But it's only weird for a little while and until it becomes like quite normal. And it's just, oh, okay, right? Why not? You know, I can pet other people. Why not pet myself too?
Yeah, because we always turn it out. We never, or I never turn it into myself.
Right. So we can certainly do that. And I thought it would be so wonderful to show that because I think it can like break the ice. That's what I'm hoping for our viewers, that it breaks the ice.
Yes. That's gorgeously beautiful. And I want to share with everybody, we're going to take a break really quickly. And I want to share with everybody, I did this myself last night and it was an awesome experience. It really brought me to tears because it hit something very deep. Yes. And so, everybody, India's book, Crafting a Happy Life, in the Facebook comments, if you're watching the Facebook Live, say, yes, give me that book. Or call in our 1-800 number, 1-800-930-2819, and we will arrange to get you a copy. We will be right back. This is Unstuck Joy. I'm your host, Vicki Todd, with our guest, India Holden. Be back in a minute.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Do you ever feel as if you're working twice as hard but only getting half as far? Are you trying to connect with your path in life and finding it elusive? Mainstream Metaphysics Radio is a weekly call-in show where we harness our connection with the universe and use what is in our power to affect change for optimal success and happiness. This hit show bridges the divide between what is and what we do not know. Eve, named one of the country's top psychics, also known as the MBA psychic, invites you on this journey for this live call-in show with readings, featured guests, leaders, and visionaries in both business and spiritual callings. So join Eve Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as she takes metaphysics mainstream. For more information about Eve, visit EliteTarot.com. That's EliteTarot.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Unstuck Joy. I'm your host, Vicki Todd, and we have our wonderful guest, India Holden.
Hi there.
So right before the break, India did this wonderful self-soothing exercise where she was literally patting herself. And in Chapter 5 of Crafting a Happy Life, it's called Sweet Talking Yourself. And I was telling India on the break, I was reading this again last night, and it really hit me in a deep space. And so I had gone to Spa Air, which is in Kirkland, and India gave a talk about the history of tarot and kind of how she had gotten into it. And so I signed up for a 90-minute session because I didn't really know much about tarot, and I kind of had, you know, this, oh, is that kind of creepy? Is it scary or whatever? And she made it such a, you know, positive and enriching thing. And we didn't really talk about it in the session, India, but you had asked me something to where I responded, no, I'm kind of a lone wolf. And so I think you must have asked me, do I have a support system or something like that? And so you had suggested that I read this Sweet Talking chapter and also tap into my community, because there's a community out there that's really wanting what I'm doing. And slowly but surely, you know, I'm letting that in. And so I was reading the the Sweet Talking chapter last night, and doing that, and I was saying out loud some of the prompts that you had, like, you know, you're so awesome, you're so willing to try new things, and, you know, I was hugging myself, and it seemed so simple, but it reminded me of 2 years ago, you know, after I quit my professor position, and I was taking a 12-week intensive life coach training class, and in that class we had done the needs list. Mm-hmm. And not what you need right now as an adult, but what from childhood you didn't get, and that's lasting into adulthood, and it's kind of a trigger. And my two main needs were being heard and being encouraged. Mm-hmm. And so when I was doing that sweet talking, it hit me and I started crying, because I thought, oh my God, that's exactly what I've needed, and here you've given me a tool to do that for myself. I'm going to start crying now. But it's such a simple book, it seems, but it really goes to a deep place if you really, you know, open your heart and mind. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really, really happy to hear that. And I hope that you're not the only one who has that wonderful experience with it, because I don't want to keep this to myself. You know, this is such a beautiful thing. And I find that when you do this kind of sweet-talking yourself. We often only want to compliment ourselves on the things that we just feel we've accomplished.
Mm-hmm. You know, the gold star.
I did a good job because I have a transformation talk radio show, right? But sweet talking, right? Lovers do that. They sweet talk each other, not based on what they think reality is. It's based on their feeling. So it's like, oh, baby, oh, I love you. Oh, you're such a sweetie pie. Oh, you're the best. You're so wonderful. I'm so glad to have you in my life. We say all these sweet nothings, but they're not nothing. They're very deeply meaningful, and our body listens. Because here's the thing that I've noticed, and I think this especially for me. I started out as this very intellectual person. My dad was an intellectual, and you know, I was around him a lot. We talked a lot. And so I neglected my body in terms of, you know, I wasn't mistreating it or anything. But I didn't pay attention to it. It was just like...
You're all up here.
Yeah, it's just my body, you know. I've come to notice that it's almost like the body has its own life. Like it is part of our life, obviously, but it also has its own experiences, its own life. And the more I give it its due, the more I respect it, the more I actually am in relationship with it. I'm saying, how are you doing today? What's going on? What's happening? What can I do for you? Thank you. The more I'm noticing, holy moly, it talks back. It used to be in China in the old days, they thought that we thought with our heart, right? That the brain was in the heart. And now we found out that the kind of same neurons that are in the brain are also in the heart. And in fact, in many places throughout the body. So it seems that the brain is not just concentrated in our skull, but throughout the body.
Right.
I've had some other occasions to notice that there can be a very distinct separation between what I'm thinking and what my body's saying. I did a zip lining thing. It was like, I don't know, like 800 feet up, and it was like a really long zip line. And I knew I'm completely safe as I'm holding onto the T-bar. My body's going, we're going to die. We're going to die. And I'm like, thank you for sharing, but we're totally safe. Look at this bar. And I don't understand this concept. I understand this concept. It's really, really far down, and we're going to fall.
Right.
So that's where I really noticed that it's not the same experience. And I feel that the more we're respecting our body, but lovingly, not just respecting it like the temple that it is. No, like, thank you. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for participating in all of this.
Right.
The more we create this sweet-talking, loving, lover relationship with our body, the more whole we feel and the happier we feel, because that's really what it's about, right? Crafting a happy life. This is one of the things that goes into.
Well, and what I liked was right after that experience, and I was feeling it in my solar plexus because it felt warm and fuzzy and good, and you said, okay, let's test it. Let's turn it around. And then I don't remember what you had written there, but it was negative talk. And all of a sudden I had that pit in my stomach and I was like, oh, no, let's go back. Let's go back to the sweet talking. And so your body really does talk back to you. And I was the same way, you know, being a college professor, everything was up here and, you know, I didn't pay attention if I was hungry or if I was thirsty or whatever. It's just, I have these things to do before my next class.
Right.
And, you know, now in this new life, it's like, oh, I'm actually feeling my toes, you know, I'm feeling, you know, what are these different sensations? And so, you know, it's a cool thing because it is all connected, but that kind of gets into your concept of juggling. And so tell us about the juggling.
Yeah, that is, I think also, I mean, I have so many tools. There's like, I don't know, like 15, 20 tools in this book, all these different things, and they're kind of all fit together. So one of the things that I think is a really big deal is juggling, because part of what makes us unhappy is if we don't have hope and if we don't see possibility, right? Which is like how we would have hope. So we don't see possibility if we feel like something is like this or it's like that. And I don't like that, and I'm not getting this, so that's...
It's bad.
I'm stuck now with that.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, and I need to get unstuck joy. So how do I get unstuck joy? Is by juggling the different things at the same time. because it's never just one way. Like I'm talking about in the book, you have all these different colored balls. That's kind of how it is in life. There's dark things, there's light things, there's indifferent things, there's cool things, and juggling all of that. And then also saying, well, I don't really know how it exactly is, because it's like this and like that. In Western thought, you know, that's a famous thing. In the Western thought, we think either or. And then Eastern thought summed up is it's this and that rather than just one or the other. So juggling, like, yeah, you know, like I can be driving down the road and noticing that this person is letting me in, like I'm trying to get into traffic and this person is letting me in while I'm listening to something on the radio that's alarming me about climate change. And so I could say, oh, that is what it's all about. But it's not just about that. It's also about, look how nice this person was to let me in. Mm-hmm. So juggling that at the same time.
Right.
And I think that one of the big things that we need for that is to realize that things are not the way we think they are. Mm. They're the way we think they are, and then there are a bunch of other ways. Can I give an example of that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, please.
Like the way we think it is. So we think like there is females, and there is males, and then there's people who feel like neither nor, and then there's people who feel like both. But then, like, look at this here. Can you see this? This is Nemo.
Yes.
Can you see that? So this is a clownfish. Yes. Okay, so in the clownfish school, there is one female, and all the others are males.
Wow.
Right? And so when the female dies, the next biggest, most strongest male becomes a female within 1 week.
Okay, hold on. So when the female dies,
the
next biggest, strongest male morphs into a female within a week. Okay, I had to hear that again.
Like literally, and becomes fully, completely a female. Right. So that's obviously not this or that. It's obviously this and that. Oh, wow. Like we didn't know about that. And there's dozens of fish species. There's slugs. There's snails. There's plants, snakes. They're all like that. Like snakes don't even need, like they're both male and female. And they fertilize themselves and give birth to little baby snakes. So it's truly like anything goes. Or like here, this beautiful fish, the rainbow wrasser.
Lift it up a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
So yes.
The rainbow wrasser, it's the opposite. All of the fish are female, and there's only one male. Mm. Then when the male dies, then the next biggest female becomes a male.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know.
So that's kind of the concept of widening the circle in a different way evolve as we're on this journey and not be stuck in, I have to be this because I was told I should be this or I went to school for this.
Yeah. Exactly, like in your case. Or things are this way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like many, many years ago, I thought things are this way. And when I started doing some research for The World is Better Than You Think, I was shocked to notice all the amazing people who are doing amazing things. Mm-hmm. Like the Giving Pledge by, who started that? Rupert Murdoch? No, it's not Rupert Murdoch. Warren Buffett and... the guy from Microsoft, they started
Bill
that.
Bill Gates,
They started to talk people into pledging their money for philanthropic causes.
Yeah.
And you know what I discovered in that? That rich people don't handle their own money. They have companies that do it for them. They don't even, they don't know how to do it. It's like, oh, I don't know what to do. So
too
then
much.
To do is, they go out and they say, hey, let me show you how you can work with your own money. And they go, oh. Well, now that I know how to work with my own money, what can I do with it? Oh, I'm going to pledge it. And so there's like over 150 of the richest who have pledged the vast majority of their wealth to doing good things. And that's why we're seeing things such as that when I started noticing what's going on in the world in the early 80s, I guess I was too self-absorbed before then, 40,000 people a day died of starvation-related diseases or directly of hunger. Today, that's half. So that is obviously 20,000 too many. That's one too many. But that's the difference, half as many people, because all these rich people are actually doing something. So I know they're part of the 1% and we have certain feelings about that and they're justified. But it's this and that, right?
Right, right.
You have people who are hoarding stuff and they don't have mirror neurons to where they're compassionate. But then you have these other people who are saying, let me spend the rest of my life to use what I earned, or maybe not fairly earned, who knows, but still, let me redeem myself. That's also there.
Pay it forward. Awesome. Justin, do you mind if we skip the last break?
Not at all.
Okay, awesome, because we have a lot to talk about. And that's the concept that I liked on your website about widening the circle and letting everything in, looking for the good. You know, I would call it looking for the silver lining and stuff. And so, but you're still juggling, you know, the dark blue balls and the pink and yellow balls at the same time. But when you let that love in, not romantic love, but the unconditional love for yourself, and fill your own cup, then it can spill over and pay forward. And so I love that concept. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, with Transformation Talk Radio and Unstuck Joy and your books. So, one thing before we get off of Crafting a Happy Life, and don't forget, people, 5 free copies. Type in the Facebook Live comments or call us at 1-800-930-2819. 5 free copies. You know, I taught public relations writing for many years. And so the power of well-chosen words. And so some of your words, like crafting a happy life, you know, it's not just, well, give me a happy life or let me just be happy. You know, it's crafting, because that, you know, that has a connotation of, you know, that you're molding it. But also going along with the unconditional love, you have the motto of whatever happens, good or bad, how can I apply love here? And I thought that was the most beautiful thing. And it's not just how can I see love or feel love, but how can I apply love? And so talk about that motto.
So we relate to love as a feeling that just happens to us. And then when we're feeling it, we're feeling it. And when we're not feeling it, we're not feeling it. And I think that love is something that you can also choose. It can be, and when you know that you can choose it, see again, it comes back to all is divine. I believe all is divine, and I believe that love is underneath everything. That if you peel away the concerns, the needs for survival, when you peel away anger, what's left is love, like at the bottom of it all. I've never met anyone where I didn't eventually reach that point where that vulnerable, beautiful, raw love is present.
Yeah.
So If you know that love already exists and you can tap into it within yourself, then you can use it as a tool. So if it's, again, it's just noticing, it's just giving your attention to, like, if somebody's upsetting you, what the first thing you want to do is you want it to stop. Second thing is maybe you want to take a little revenge, or I hope that somehow they'll get their comeuppance. Or you can also do all that, because you're a human being. You're going to do all that. I'm going to do all that. We're all going to do that. But then also adding this other thing. Well, how can I apply love here? And just like a motto, just like asking that, the moment you ask that, everything changes.
Right.
Because the part in you that is love, the divine part in you, well, all is divine, but the part that I relate to as the divine part, that hears that and goes, yeah.
Yeah. And I read that at just the right time yesterday, because I was trying to get to the time of the day to, you know, get back into your book and just really sit with it. And I was kind of having one of those itchy days. It wasn't a bad day, but, you know, it was just kind of scratchy. And so I was working with this person on the phone, and they were being a little bit too salesy with me. And I was beginning to, you know, get really uptight about it. And I thought, okay, you know, after we hung up, because I did lose my temper a little bit, but I thought, okay, how can I apply love here? And automatically I thought, that's his job, you know, to try to sell stuff. You know, he's trying to do his job. And I looked at my office window, is right here, and I saw a hummingbird. And so that's always my sign to, you know, think about joy, think of happiness. And so it was a really great way to stop me in my tracks and just shift.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like I noticed this a lot in relationships with people. Like, you know, I there's one or two relationships in my life that are maybe a little difficult. And what would happen is if I didn't approach it with how can I apply love here, there would be no relationship there. Mm. But I've chosen for there to be one, especially, you know, when it's with family, where it's a heartbreak when you have to say goodbye to part of your family because maybe you just can't come together or there's not enough tolerance. And so when I'm asking myself, how can I apply love here, then it's not my ego that is operating, because the ego wants to kill off whatever threatens it. So right. like that literally, some oftentimes literally, but in some way it wants to like block out, like I'm not talking to you, don't call me. But that's what the ego knows how to do. But the divine part, the part that knows all is divine, that is capable of reaching out. So then I can, instead of saying, don't talk to me that way, I can say, how are you feeling? Mm. And everything shifts. And mm-hmm. it's because the person goes like,
yeah, stopped.
Something got short-circuited, right?
Yeah.
And then that person may say, I don't know, I have a stone and a pebble in my shoe, or I woke up the wrong way, or life is kind of hard, I don't like the way things are going, or whatever. Things like that. So it's no longer about your struggle, right?
Right, right.
Like, how can I apply love here? It, in a way, keeps your ego from being reactive. Mm. Allows your sort of your neocortex, your higher self, to come in and do some of this. And like, if you had stayed upset, you may have missed that hummingbird.
Right. Yes, because I wouldn't have looked up. I can guarantee that. I would have been looking down and fuming. So
but
absolutely.
Sure. When people attack us, it's almost never an attack. It's almost always a defense.
Yeah. I can hear a little bit of desperation. And so I think there was something, you know, with his job during yesterday that it was like, I've got to accomplish this type of thing. I know that this is, we're getting close to the end of the show. So I want you to talk about your wonderful tarot readings. Where are they? What can people get out of it? Because, you know, like I said, I don't really understand tarot all the way, but I have the picture of the spread that came out of our 90-minute session, and I can go back and Google your beautiful cards, but it was the most positive thing. And every time I think about where am I going, where is life going, I think about it was all very good. So tell us about your offering.
Okay, so the tarot I approach it from the Jungian viewpoint, which is that we have a very profound connection to symbols, especially mm-hmm. when we see them visually. And so I feel that symbols, sort of like Joseph Campbell said, this is where ordinary life meets sort of the transcendent life. We don't have words, so we have symbols, and the tarot is so rich in symbols. So again, the circle of awareness, right? There's stuff that's just outside of our circle of awareness. And in a tarot reading, that circle can become larger, and stuff that you weren't aware of before, suddenly you can become aware of and work with.
Yes.
So that's one thing. It's one thing that I see about the tarot. I have to say, I do feel divinely guided. It's not just the cards, but somehow something comes through, and then I will share that, even if I don't agree with it, because, hey, I either trust this or I don't. I think the tarot is the kind of thing that it really depends, like with everything, it depends on who is doing it, like what the person's intentions are, or what their development or their training is. So I was afraid of the tarot. I never wanted anything to do with it. I'd gotten readings from friends. They've never made any sense to me. Then I heard Gaia Hawken give a speech, and I went up to her and I said, will you teach me? And she says, come to my house on Wednesday. And here we are. And it just came to me through the back door. And, you know, I do coaching. And I find that what can take weeks or months to get to that place of vulnerability and heart openness can happen in minutes in a tarot reading.
Yeah,
It's mind-boggling how far we can travel so fast in the tarot reading. So I really feel that the cards and the way they're laid out and the way we're interacting with each other creates a space of divine presence, and my divine within me connects with the divine within you, and that's why such wonderful things come out of it.
Yes. I can't believe it. We only have 2 minutes left in the whole show. So two things. One, give us your website or the way that people can contact you to look at all of your beautiful offerings, because you do speaking events, you do readings, and there are several different levels of readings. So how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, people can get in touch with me. They can visit me at Spa Air in downtown Kirkland. So that's Spa, SPAEIR, in downtown Kirkland. And I'm there on Wednesdays. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me through All Divine Global. So whether that's .com, which is my website, or on Facebook, or Twitter, Pinterest, Snapchat, chat, Instagram. I'm everywhere, and it's all Divine Global. So long as you put that down, you can find me. And of course, you can find my books on Amazon, The World is Better Than You Think, and Crafting a Happy Life. And I'm working on The Happy Activist. How to be activist now and not get bitter or freaked out or exhausted. So I feel really need that. So Divine Global, that's how you can find me.
AllDivineGlobal.com. Okay, so just really quickly, everybody, this is the priestess based on India's card, half, you know, fresh youth, half very wise crone. And I did it with collage material, and she kind of has her tribal mask, wisdom, craft a happy life. So go to my website, VickiWorldArt.com, under Art Visioning, Art Vision Prompts, and it's the first one. What advice would your future elder warriors give you? So thank you so much, India. Your presence is just so welcoming and warming, and I encourage people to work with you in any way they can. One last thought that you have for people, just a sentence.
You are whole, wise, and divine, perfect as you are and as you are not.
Oh, beautiful. Widen that circle, people.
You can come see me at the Sunday market, the Fremont Sunday market. I'm there every Sunday from 10 to 4.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.
You've been listening to Unstuck Joy, The Art of Living on Purpose with Vicki Todd. This hit show is where your higher purpose is revealed and cultivated. Now you too can share your unique light and special gifts with the world. Vicki's dedication to raising your life's purpose to something extraordinary is unending. So don't miss out on your opportunity. Catch Unstuck Joy monthly with Vicki Todd and Dr. Pat Basile. For more information about Vicki and her work, go to VickiWorldArt.com. That's VickiWorldArt.com.